Now, today's story is one of three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm sure for many of you, this story will be incredibly familiar. We grew up hearing it in Sunday school, and it captured our imagination as we see these three young men refusing to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. It's so rich, vivid, and graphic that it's easy to think of it as a mere fable or a myth told only to put across the idea of courage. And yet, as we discovered a couple of weeks ago, it is a historic event just as true as any other biblical story. This morning, I want you to put yourself in the place of those three young men whose rollercoaster experience appears to change daily. How do you think you would respond when you were put to the test like they were? To help us out with that, we're going to head over to a very special Daniel, who's going to read to us this morning, Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 to 28.
As Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image of I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God would be able to rescue from my hand?" "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego," it replies to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the images of gold you have set up." When Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed, he ordered the furnaces to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into a blazing furnace. So his men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" "Certainly, your majesty," he said. "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, or was hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire upon them. When Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants," they trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own.
Well, thanks for that, Daniel. And this chapter, chapter 3, is one of the most fascinating passages of the Bible that I've ever studied. And whilst I knew the story before I came to share it with you this morning, as I've pondered over it for the past few weeks, I've realised that the Bible is a living, breathing story that always provides me with a new and fresh vision whenever I need it. So please don't tune out, even if you think you already know the story. Up till this point, we've seen the Israelites conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar, and all the people were either killed or made slaves of Babylon. And our four friends, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were put through a training regime to fully assimilate them into Babylonian culture. Their names were changed, but when they were asked to eat the king's food, they said, "No, we serve God first and the king second." They didn't want to start feeding off the king's food, and they certainly didn't want to open up their appetite for the many other things that the king might want to bring to them. And of course, there was a bit of a battle, but eventually our four friends proved that there was a better way of living by trusting God and not the king, helping to show us that it's important for us to remain people of integrity when times get tough. Then last week we saw how Daniel was able to interpret the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar through the power of God. Our Bible says in Daniel 2 verse 46, "Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honour and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court." So that's the story up to now. But in chapter 3, we see Nebuchadnezzar yet again make another power play. Now, I'd love to spend some time looking at King Nebuchadnezzar this morning and focus on just how evil he repeatedly was, but I do need to keep this talk PG, and we really don't want to have to put out guidance warnings because we know that there are plenty of kids watching this morning. If you want to Google it afterwards, then by all means, please be my guest. You'll find out just how evil he really was. But on this occasion, his power play was to put up a massive, and I mean seriously massive, golden statue. For scale, this is a double-decker bus, and this is how big the statue was. There's being insecure, and then there's making a 90-foot statue to yourself. It's almost as though Nebuchadnezzar learnt nothing from Daniel's interpretation of the dream we heard about last week. And of course, as we read in verse 5, the king makes a decree. "As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold." And then he adds, "Oh, and by the way, if you don't, I will kill you. I will throw you into a blazing furnace and you will die." So the music strikes up and everyone bows down. But even without reading the story, we already know that our Jewish friends who have stood firm before were definitely not going to do this. And lo and behold, when King Nebuchadnezzar hears about this, he was furious. He sends for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and asks them why they did not bow down when the music started. They arrive in the king's palace and are questioned by the king himself. He asks them, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace." See, how many times in our lives do we bow down when the music starts to play? How many times do we take the easy option rather than standing up for what we know is right. I could list 1,000 ways right now that we all bow down, but I'm sure we all know what I'm talking about. I know there's plenty of times in my life that I bow down when the music plays. But when we look at these three young men, we see that they were so focused on being faithful to God that they were not going to compromise that part of their lives. They served the king diligently, even though he had killed their families and enslaved their people. They didn't agree with all his policies, nor his values, nor even the direction that he was taking the country in. But they served the king wholly until they were asked to compromise their faith. Let's see how they respond in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Wow. What a statement that is. These three men were willing to give up their lives for what was right. And much like in Daniel chapter 1, they don't try and make any excuses for what they did. They just state that they were not going to bow down. It would have been easy for them to take the approach of saying, "Well, we will bow down on the outside, but really, inside, we don't mean it. We're not bowing down on the inside." But I think this passage here is saying to us that that's not an option. We've got to consciously stand up against things when God calls us to. We've seen that recently with issues surrounding injustice, specifically racial injustice, where we know that we're not called to stand back and fit in, while secretly saying inside, "Well, actually, I am against racism." No, we must be vocal when challenges come our way, even if there may be painful pushbacks and consequences to ourselves in the world. And look, it can be really, really hard to stand up sometimes. But why was it that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found it so easy to stand up to the king like this? Because they knew God was on their side. They had a real confidence in God, in who he says he is and what he says he will do. And they knew that God was guiding them through this challenge. Martin Luther King, in 1967, spoke about this passage in an amazing sermon called "But If Not." He said what was amazing about these three friends' ability What was amazing about these three friends is that they knew about God's ability. They were aware that God was able to save them. But he said what's particularly impressive is when they say to Nebuchadnezzar, "Our God can save us, but even if he does not, we still are not going to bow down and worship the statue." And Dr. King goes on to say that there is an if faith and a though faith. The if faith says, look, if everything works out, and if God kind of provides for me, and I have health and wealth and happiness, and if it all goes well, then I'll trust him and I'll do what he says. That's the if faith. But he also says that there is a though faith. And this is what he had to say about it.
Though things go wrong, though evil is temporarily triumphant,
yes, sir,
though sickness comes and the cross looms,
yes,
nevertheless,
yes,
I'm going to believe anyway, and I'm going to have faith anyway. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof,
yes,
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
The God of Jacob is our refuge. Even if it doesn't all end happily ever after, I'm still going to take my stand here because I know that this is what God has called me to. And it's easy to think that this story is a bit far away from our current position, but the many stories of Christian missionaries and people closer to home who've suffered greatly, sometimes even to death itself, is a great reminder of this calling. Now, we might read this as one of the most beautiful moments of faith in the whole Bible. However, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't really see it in that way at all. In verse 19, it says, "He was furious with them and his attitude changed towards them. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual." I mean, that is really furious, isn't it? The furnace itself was obviously going to kill them. Like, it's fire at the end of the day. But to make it 7 times hotter. Wow. The passage even goes on to say in verse 22 that this command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. So these three men were firmly tied and thrown into the blazing furnace. Is this the end of the story? Were they wrong to put their trust in God? The very next verse, verse 24, says this. Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." See, there was another in the fire standing next to them. And I'm not being heretical here in my conviction that the other person in the fire with them was Jesus. There are cameo appearances of Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. I don't think it's fair to assume that this was just an angel. I think Nebuchadnezzar, on this occasion, got it very right. A son of the gods, or as we know, the Son of God. And isn't that an amazing thought? That Jesus was there in the fire with them. He stood with them in the furnace. He untied them and he kept them safe from harm. God could have stopped them from being thrown into the furnace, but he didn't. And in life, we might not always get to escape from whatever is coming our way in life. But God has promised us that he will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We need to use those moments in life of pain and struggle to find Jesus in the fiery furnace. He is your comfort and shield. He is our refuge and strength. And there's going to be times when it's really, really scary to trust in God fully. For Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, this will have been so hard. At any point, they could have just bowed down to the statue. But they fully trusted in God, and so they didn't. Where is it in life that you're being asked to stand firm? Even if it might result in the fires of life seemingly taking hold. In your family, in your neighbourhood, on your street, in your school, in your workplace, God promises that he will stand next to you in the fire and he won't let you come to harm. And what came out of it all? Well, verse 28, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Perhaps a little bit of an overdramatic response at the end, but the sentiment is there at least. You see, we've all become aware that life is full of unexpected challenges, struggles and hardships in the past few months as we've ridden this roller coaster of the coronavirus pandemic. We know that we're not always ready for these challenges. But as we see through the book of Daniel, the fact that we can't fully handle our own lives is not news to God. All throughout the Bible, God shows up when the people of God boldly live out their faith. And in this chapter of Daniel, three ordinary men from the tribe of Judah were sentenced to death by a fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to a false god. But God stood in the fire with them. He protected them and he delivered them. Even when they were faced with seemingly impossible circumstances, they understood that experiencing freedom gracefully given by God did not mean being removed from bad situations. They knew the truth, that freedom comes from belonging to the only truth that really matters, being loved and accepted by the God of the universe. For Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, their unswerving faith led them on a dangerous path, putting them right in the literal firing line. But because they had a faith that said, even though things in life go wrong, we're still going to trust in God, he delivered them from the blazing furnace. Church, we need to realise that there are literally no surprises to God. He has overcome the world. He knows the battles you face, and because he loves you, he is prepared to fight for you. So you can count it all joy in every battle, because the Bible promises that God will meet you right there in the middle of your circumstances, standing next to you, where he has always promised to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this promise that you are our refuge and strength, and we thank you for your promise of peace to us. That in this world we will have trouble, but we are to take heart because you have overcome the world. Help us to follow you with a stronger faith and help us to trust you in every situation. And be with us today and evermore. Amen.